Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The role of Janssen Community Library in Hillsdale, New York, and serving Hillsdale and its surrounding communities of Ancrum and Copake, is currently home to 15 stunning collage portraits of suffragists created by artist Lynn Perella. From legendary leaders to anonymous advocates, the featured women are linked by their commitment to attaining votes for women. The collage works are further inspired by quilts and display vibrantly colorful and interwoven designs which interpret each woman's life and passions. Threads of History, Suffragette Portraits and Quilts in Mixed Media will be on view at the Rojan Community Library in Hillsdale, New York through October 31st. I went to the library and met with artist Lynn Perella to discuss her work. Lynn Perella, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for being interested.
Before we discuss these gorgeous suffragist collages that are on display at the library here in Hillsdale, how did you begin doing collage? I know it's a lifelong venture for you, but how did you discover it and what have you done with it up to now?
Do I get to say that I started being an artist at five?
You do.
And since I'm in my 70s now, you can tell it's been a long road. I feel like I've really hit all the stops on the way. My background was as a commercial artist, and I did a lot of corporate communications, illustration work. I was a freelancer, so anything I could get. You know, one day I was designing posters, the next day it was logos, another time it was you name it. But at some point, I yearned for the fine art world. And so I thought, you know, all the things that I've gathered over the years, my ability to meet a deadline, to sort of create on a dime, et cetera, I thought, you know, that could really be good for me in the fine arts. So I just sort of ended up in that. And it feels so natural. It just feels like the place I should have ended up all along.
When you know, made that decision and tried to move in that direction, how did you figure out what kind of work you would create, not for someone else, but for yourself, for your own artistic endeavor?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think one pivotal thing that happened in my commercial art career is that everything started becoming digital and done on the computer. And I could feel, I mean, like, hey, they're taking the best part of the job away from me. Because I would be that person that would love scratching on a big layout pad with a pencil. Just the feeling it through your fingertips. And I love that part of my corporate design part. So I think I was really yearning for something that could be as grungy and as low-tech as possible. And for me, that is collage, 1,000%.
What have been some of your other series or focuses of the collage art before this suffragist series?
Oh gosh, I've explored so many topics because anything that comes to mind, I mean literally anything, ends up in my work. You know, I once read a quote from Flannery O'Connor, and she says, "I write to learn what I think." And I do art for the same reason. So for example, if I'm enthralled with Shakespeare, I'm going to do a whole series on Shakespeare. I've explored William Morris, the design legend from way back. I'll tell you a funny story. I was telling my husband, who I love very much, but he's a nurse, he's not an artist. And I said, "John, I'm doing a series on William Morris." And he said, "The agent?"
Well, he knew who the agent was. That's something.
You know, maybe he's next. I really don't know. But anyway, the medieval age, tapestries, tile work. Everything interests me. Anything that has pattern and layering and storytelling, that's me. That I love it.
You also designed rubber stamps. I love rubber stamps. And that obviously was probably in the more commercial portion of your artistic career. But how does that kind of design relate to your passion as well?
What really got me interested in rubber stamps is the aspect of mailing things that are artful. And that really captivated me, to know there was a whole kind of strange community out there that would do things like, you know, wrap up an old sneaker and then decorate the outside of the thing and then slap some stamps on it and send it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. It was so playful, and it actually reminded me a lot of the artist Saul Steinberg, who did so many things that looked at a glance like a diploma or a serious document, but no, it was really just something crazy and graphic. So I loved that world, and I sort of inched into it as someone doing what they call mail art. But then I thought, wait a minute, I'm an illustrator. I can design stamps. I can do this. So it was just another thing that I dove into. I had my own company. It was called AC Ducey for a long time. And I sort of started the whole excitement over collage type rubber stamps. They were just different. They weren't collage-like. And I thought, well, that's what I can bring to this art form. So I just had a blast. And by the way, at the same time, my husband had decided to go back to school. He had a midlife blossoming, and he decided to go back to school full-time. And he came to me and said that. I thought, well, how exciting. But, you know, because I'm a woman, I'm thinking, oh, he'll just keep doing everything at the same time. You know, all the going to school and then the career thing. And no, he was going to school full time. And somehow I had to float the boat. And oddly enough, and it sounds bizarre, but that little rubber stamp company took very good care of us for a few years. It just was a gift.
Our guest is artist Lynn Perella. Threads of History, Suffragette Portraits, and Quilts and Mixed Media will be on view at the Rojan Community Library in Hillsdale, New York through October 31st.
These collages are incredibly detailed. They're vibrant. They're beautiful. There's so many components. You could look at them for ages and ages and keep discovering things. Can you take me through like a quick-ish summary of how you make them? How do you start? What do you start with? Where do you get your materials?
Every collage, although it's not visible to you because you're just seeing the final work, begins with an underpainting. Now, what I'm really dedicated to, because I was a kid that grew up in a little town outside of Pittsburgh, there wasn't an art store. And by the way, if there had been, I wouldn't have had the money to go, you know, tromping off to the art store. No, it was go in the basement or go into mom's sewing kit or see what dad's got hanging around and work with that. And lo and behold, that is my favorite way to work, meaning I just use acrylic paints. Everything I use is very low-tech, very inexpensive. I love taking grungy, low-tech, sort of nothing materials and making them look lavish. So it starts with an underpainting. I start working with images or other papers, or in this case, a lot of bits of textiles, mark making. I just keep going and going. And it's really a case, I know a lot of artists say, you know, if you've absolutely made a mess of something, either paint over it or get rid of it. And I'm just saying, keep going. I'm a keep going kind of girl. So I just keep going. And the more I refine, I might add, you know, bits of tissue paper to an area that I feel just isn't happening. But at the end, what I really want is for the viewer to scan around, and wherever their eye would land, I want them to find something interesting on my work. Now, I know that's against the principles in art, where you're supposed to have a focal point, and I don't care about that. I'm fine that other people like that. It doesn't matter to me. I love the layering process. And the question I get a lot from other people, especially students, because I do workshops, how do you know when something is done? And the answer is when you're satisfied with it. Because potentially anything you see in front of you here in this show, I could have kept going and going and going. You know, mono printing on top of it, adding more paint, pulling out some other images, dividing a face in half and combining it with a different face. Who knows? But I quit when I'm happy with what I've done. And also, I love the idea of working in a series. It means I can just go on to the next thing and keep going.
How did you discover and select the women you featured in your suffragist series?
It is so bottomless. And that's why I'm so thrilled that even though there's 15 pieces in this show, I know I'm going to keep going. But I just felt so good about being a narrator for each one of these women, either because I already felt I knew something about them and wanted to tell their story a bit more, or even better, if I had never heard of them and I just happened to read one line, you know, in a book or somewhere, I thought, okay, they need me. I need them, they need me. And so I gravitated towards the women in this show, very much so.
Can you tell me about some of these women?
I mean, let's talk for a minute about Catherine Wright. I was reading David McCullough's book about the Wright brothers and was quite happy to do so, just kind of minding my own business, reading a wonderful book. But then this secondary character, Catherine, who was their younger sister, just ran away with my heart. She was much younger. She had really never been away from home particularly. A brilliant student, loved Oberlin College. That's all fine. However, they end up sending her to Europe to be their factotum. And she's supposed to all of a sudden be over there because she was family. Of course, she would be the perfect person to represent them. She and only she, you know, one of those deals. And, you know, this young lady becomes the toast of Europe. Everyone talked about her. There would be multiple, I mean, just hundreds of people at a big aviation banquet or conference or event, and she'd be the only woman. In Europe, they were so enthralled with aviation, more so than we were in the United States, where it was thought of as a kind of a quirky thing. But they knew that World War I was coming, and they would need aviation for those purposes, if not for others. And so she was the right woman in the right place at the right time, and then came back. You know, she did many, many things in her life, but when she came back, she became very, very aware of her influence and her visibility, and she brought that to Votes for Women.
Her collage is around the corner from where we're sitting just now, but could you tell me from memory, what are some of the things visually you wanted to include to help tell that story?
Because I was so taken by surprise by her, I decided to turn that panel into a crazy quilt. The subtext for my show here is that I make a lot of references to quilts. They aren't literally quilts, but they're paper quilts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with cloth and stitching and all that kind of thing. So for Catherine, because I just thought she was such a wild card, I just had to do a crazy quilt for her. And basically a crazy quilt is an amalgam of everything and anything. You know, it can be a bit of silk. It could be an old necktie. It could be an old pennant from college. I've included an image from Oberlin College, which was an old felt pennant that I thought she could have potentially owned or had. There's a big embroidered K on there for Catherine, because often the last layer in those quilts were a network of embroidery, hoping to heck they'd hold it all together somehow, sort of against all odds. But the crazy quilt seemed right for her. And then Catherine herself is in the center, and she is shown absolutely serious as could be in her mortarboard, in her robes, graduating. And I just love the, hey, I'm serious here, and the craziness swirling all around her, telling her story and saying, hey, Stillwater's, they run so deep you can't even imagine. And her life was really, really something.
Who is another of the women you'd like to discuss right now?
Sojourner Truth is someone I think we've all heard of. And I was a little reluctant to jump in and use her as an image, but I simply could not resist. When I started reading the text from her, apparently she was not a literate woman. However, she could command an audience. So she was a great communicator. And I started reading about this just seminal speech she gave in Akron, Ohio, at a big conference. And she just sounded, I had to go there, just everything about her. And I learned that, you know, she has a real tie here to the Hudson Valley. So, I mean, I had to go there. Now, in the two collages I've done of her, because I don't want to just be literal, I want to you know, throw other things in. That's what collage is. It's storytelling. And in both of them, I've included images of birds. From what I've read about goddess imagery and so forth, and I'm a big follower of all that kind of thing and explore it a lot, is that birds had a lot of connection to goddesses, you know, as their messengers, as their sidekicks, so to speak, in a weird way. So I gave Sojourner, she was so stately and amazing, I thought, I want to soften this. So I used some old images of birds and combined it all together the way I like to do.
Threads of History, Suffragette Portraits and Quilts in Mixed Media will be on view at the Roelof Janssen Community Library in Hillsdale, New York through October 31st. Our guest is collage and mixed media assemblage artist Lynn Perella. Before we wrap up, I asked her to tell me about another pair of her subjects.
So it's Dr. Flora Murray and then Dr. Louise Garrett Anderson. A few years ago, I give workshops around the world, not just in the United States, and I was invited over to Scotland, and I taught in a place that reminds me so much of Columbia County. It was just like a homecoming. But there was a small museum over there in this community of Dumfries, and they made me aware of these two women that were partners in life. Lifelong partners, and they were lesbians. They were a couple, very dedicated, and they were both physicians. So each of them in their own ways sort of went off in different directions and were very instrumental in, you know, getting people good health care. One of them was very involved with children. Another of them was very involved with returning soldiers and that they should get good health care. But what struck me about them was apparently when they were finally together forever and ever in this burial plot there, their tombstone said, "We were gloriously happy." Just that and only that. And I thought to myself, you know, that is true happiness, when we can live the life we want to live privately and happily. But then we have so much currency left to spread around and do for others. And you know, that's not a typical story amongst all these women. Often their own private story, they had a lot of difficulties and lots of weight to carry. They were carrying many burdens. But these two struck me with their domesticity as well as their wonderful full-out commitment.
It has been marvelous to meet you and speak with you about your work. The collage is absolutely stunning. I want to look at it forever. Lynn, thank you so much.
Sarah, it's been my pleasure. I hear you almost every day on the radio, and it almost seems a little surreal that you're sitting in front of me right now, and I'm so glad you are.
Lynn Perella's Threads of History, Suffragette Portraits and Quilts in Mixed Media will be on view at the Roelof Janssen Community Library in Hillsdale, New York through October 31st. Links to more information are posted along with this conversation at WAMC.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.